This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum. We have just come to the event here in Accra, Ghana. It's called the Motivational Evening. There are quite a few guests who are sitting down, settling in. And we are just seated in the back here. And we decided to talk to you for a few minutes. So I have with us, perhaps you can introduce yourself, Sheikh, the way you'd like to be introduced.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The name is Nail Muhammad Kamel.
Barakallah. Yeah. Professor.
Professor Nail Muhammad Kamel. Not Nail, not Wael.
So we have Nail and Wael.
I'll come to his name later, right now, inshallah. So, Professor Nail.
Okay, Dr. Muhammad Salah.
Muhammad Salah.
Myself, Sheikh Nuruddin Lemu. Perhaps you can say a few words introductory, Sheikh.
Nuruddin Lemu, your brother from Nigeria. And an honor, pleasure, privilege to be here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wael, not Nail.
The expert.
we don't. He said he said to this day he hasn't told his mother. He hasn't told his mother what he does.
For a living.
So tell us, why can't you explain to your mother?
I want to tell my mom, because she told me, like, well, what do you really do? What is it that you do? So I said, teaching. So she said, teaching what?
I'm an expert. On what?
Teaching what? Like, so it's very good if the viewers can comment on how to describe to my mom that I help people who are struggling with pornography addiction. Like, how would you describe that to your mother?
Sexologist.
No. She hasn't, she never heard about that terminology in the first place.
They use the word pornologist, but I think I heard that from you.
That was a brother, I think in Malaysia or somewhere, who introduced me once. The first time he said, we have our brother, this and that. And then he said, he is an expert in pornography.
Yeah,
and he stopped there.
That was recent.
And he left the stage, and now I'm coming, and people start laughing. So I had to make the correction. Next he came and he said he's a pornologist, the only pornologist we know in the Islamic world, something like that. Then pornology came about. Yeah. So just to explain to the viewers, so I help people who are really struggling with pornography addiction, which is actually something now being scientifically proven. It's not like, you know, a theory.
It's an addiction.
It's an absolute addiction, just replicates even hard drugs like cocaine and heroin.
In fact, what I liked about your description when we traveled the last time to Indonesia and Malaysia was when you said behavioral addictions.
Yes.
So it's not the hardcore addictions to the drugs and so on, but behavioral addictions. People are hooked onto their phones, I guess.
Also gaming, social media.
Gaming is shopping. Very big. I know of someone who told me, shopping as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know of someone who told me that the husband comes back from work and he's on his phone up to 11 p.m. 11 p.m. So it's a crazy thing. Yes, yes.
Yeah. But so it's teaching me to unplug.
Oh, yes.
And focus on that which is necessary and beneficial.
Yes, Sheikh Nuruddin, you were saying?
No, I just was thinking, you know, part of the same problem with all addictions is that it removes the God-given free will to choose what to do. So you're so stuck in this behavior that all the other priorities of life gradually...
You become captive.
Yeah, you're captive by a new ilah, you know, you're like, it's slavery of Allah.
And that's why Allah says, فَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمِهِ. You know, have you seen the one who he has taken his own desire or brain or mind as his God?
Yes.
And there comes a time when you become a slave of it and you think you can't do anything about it. You would need help.
But this applies to the person who does that. He enjoys it and he's not planning to recover, nor is he seeking treatment. But a person who feels the guilt afterward and he is begging for help and he's, you know, embarrassed to share, is not necessarily undergoing the threat of أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. He is talking about somebody who enjoys following his own whim. And because of that, the Almighty Allah put a seal on his hearing, his sight, and he simply blocked his heart receptors. He cannot recognize what is right and what is wrong.
So you know what happens.
And to add to that, and to add to that, when we look at Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
puts back
qalbahu an dhikrina, then what that means is when the person followed the desire so much, the more you go higher, the more this one comes down. And therefore, what it tells us also is when you want to increase your relationship with Allah, you will have to work towards raising the remembrance of Allah and automatically the hawa.
Wait a minute, Dr. Naeed, since you brought this up, you need to mention the reason behind the revelation. And the first part, because you said there is a contrast.
Exactly.
A good part and an evil one. So tell us the good part of it.
Now, the good part of it in this case is, it says, no, the other verse says,
I will help you for 10 bucks.
No, don't help me.
I will help you for 10 bucks.
I will take it from you.
First, give me the 10 bucks.
Auzubillah min shaitan rajim. He says, من أغفلنا قلبه عن
ذكرنا واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه
ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرضا. نعم. And when we look at these, looking at the juxtaposition, between the following the hawa and also between the remembrance of Allah, it tells us the clear juxtaposition here is the moment one goes up, automatically it pushes the other one down. So talking about addiction in this particular case, the more we tend to follow the pleasures, the hawa, automatically you realize that, like Sheikh Limu has mentioned, you become enslaved with that. And that actually extends your relationship with Allah. Yes, that's what I want to add on that particular
Still, Sheikh, Doctor, the reason behind the revelation and show us the contrast. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. The contrast.
I feel like I'm in examination.
No. It's only I wanted you to pay 10 bucks.
If you were in your position, I said, today when we went to the
TV station, he told me he's not a scholar.
I'm not.
Then I said, he is a scholar. So now he's examining me.
No, I'm not.
So he wants the 10 bucks. If you buy it, he said 10 bucks. It goes over.
It's all about money.
It's about money now.
No. I'll tell you why. Because he shows a perfect reference. The most perfect choice in this regard. Because when Dr. Noor said about a person who follows his hawa to the extent that the hawa or the womb becomes like a god. It inspires, not only inspires, it mandates to the person what to do and what not to do. Then Sheikh Amin quoted the ayah of Surah Al-Jafiyah, Masha'Allah laqata illa billah. Then we have to differentiate. You can just put them here. So we have to differentiate between a person who happily chose to do so and is so much sucked into it, and a person who is sick or a person who needs a medical attention. He's not happy with what he or she is doing. So he mentioned a beautiful reference in Surah Al-Kahf, and that's why when he said in Surah Al-Kahf, right away it clicked. Allah the Almighty ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn down the proposal, the offer of the Meccan chieftains, Abu Jahl, at this time also Abu Sufyan, Al-Akhnas ibn Shuraih, those big guys. They said, look, Muhammad, you know, we're not against what you're preaching. We love what you're saying, but we only have one little problem. Look at your followers, these low-class guys, the poor, the slaves, they stink, man. You cannot sit with Bilal and Suhaib and Ammar ibn Yasir. Subhanallah, the same was repeated also in Medina after migration, when Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul and some of these chieftains offered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the same. If you give us a special gathering, a private meeting for us, we'll follow you. So the Almighty Allah said, not a chance. It's a package. You take it all or you leave it all. So wasbir nafsaka, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be patient. مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ, alongside with those who invoke the Lord, al-ghada in the morning and al-ashi, yani 24/7, They're worshiping the Almighty Allah. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Let not your eyes turn away from them. Focus on them. Can you imagine when Ammar, when Bilal, when Khabbab ibn al-Arat, when these guys are being admired by Allah, and he said about them, يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. And don't turn your eyes away from them. Then he said, while condemning the Meccan chieftain's proposal, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Obeying those whom their hearts Allah made them negligent of the remembrance of Allah. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. They simply followed their desires. Why? Al-Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, Abu Jahl, and Abu Sufyan. In public, they told people, don't listen to Muhammad. He's crazy. He's insane. He's utilizing the jinn. He's a sorcerer. Then at night, they used to go sneak around and they spend the whole night till dawn enjoying listening to the Prophet's recitation while praying night prayer. Then with the daybreak, they bumped into each other. So they made that three times while promising that they would never do it again. So Al-Akhnas paid a visit to Abu Sufyan and paid a visit to Abu Jahl separately. He said, what do you think of what you heard? Abu Jahl said, listen up. Banu Abd Manaf and our family, we were always competing with each other with regards to the honor. Who's going to be the chieftain of Mecca? Who's going to be the Sayyid? And they offered free food to the pilgrims. We offered free food. They offered free water. سقوا فسقوا فسقينا أطعموا فأطعمنا حملوا فحملنا. And now they came up with a prophet. They said, we have a prophet and God is revealing to him. Where on earth and how can we bring a prophet from Bani Makhzum like Banu Abd Manaf? So that's why, by Allah, I will never follow him. So he believed that he is the true prophet. And he believed that it is truly the word of Allah. And he enjoyed it, but because of hawa. Al-hawa, kibr. Sheikh, many of us, they think it is too much when they hear the hadith, whosoever have an atom weight
of pride
of kibr in his heart shall not enter paradise. Why? They say, an atom weight, tell us why.
Obviously, kibr makes you despise people and it makes you reject the truth.
That is the one.
So you have the rejection of the truth. Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty is telling us that they are not belying you, but in actual fact, they are denying out of their oppression, their wrongdoings. They're just denying it. They know what you brought is correct. And this is why when people are in competition with each other, it becomes dirty to the degree that even though you know he's right, you want to nail him, you want to do this. It happens among scholars. I've seen it happening among scholars where they don't know you. They don't know much about you. They see you doing work. And for some form of jealousy that overtakes the heart, they would make it their business to make your life almost
and
impossible.
They dismiss all the goodness that you've been doing. Yes. They say it's useless.
So
the word you used is a big word. يَجْحَدُون of Surah Al-An'am is a very big word.
جُحُود.
Allah says about Prophet Moses and all the signs, the nine miracles, physical, tangible miracles, he showed the Pharaoh and his people, said,
وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا
وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. They rejected all these obvious miracles, yet they were certain that Moses is a prophet.
They Harun knew he was a prophet, but
and these are miracles.
They just denied it. Yeah. Why? Because dhulman wa uluwan, because of their wrongdoings.
Al-ulu is
their arrogance. No. Yes. So because of their wrongdoings, they were unable. And that's why this verse that he recited earlier to say that أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. It proves to you that if you are engaged in the remembrance of Allah, it is because Allah has invited you to do so. Mm-hmm. Wallahi, it's a fact. Because if Allah says, we are the ones who made them oblivious of our remembrance, that's why they're oblivious. If the opposite is true, if Allah brings you towards His remembrance, that's why they say, ask Allah for guidance. Ask Allah for guidance. Don't just rely on yourself. Work towards it and keep asking Him for guidance.
Mm.
Now, Sheikh, now.
Well, you know, you remind me of the verse in Baqarah, you know, yudillu bihi kathiran wa yahdi bihi kathiran. You know, many Allah leads astray. Many He guides. But then Allah says, wa ma yudillu bihi illa al-fasiqin. But He doesn't lead astray except those who are interested in going astray. And then, you know, just the points you are making about ignorance is not the issue. It is knowing the truth and rejecting it. You know, this from the Moses side and then reminds me of that. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. You know, those who oppose the Prophet after guidance is clear. You know, that you are now responsible because you know what you're doing. And that's the group that Allah says He punishes. But, and I think this, just back to the issue of addictions, somebody can be addicted, as you said, and is struggling. So there's a jihad bin nafs to try and be better.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. And you have a reward, actually, even though you are in sin, but you're struggling to get out of that hole. And every attempt is one in which you're getting a reward for doing something that's really difficult, maybe easy for others because they've just got good family support and all the other privileges. But I think the thing to also remember is when you follow your own hawa, and that's your new God, that's your new Lord.
And you enjoy it.
And you enjoy it, it's merciless. You know, like if you just go with your hawa, you're not going to end up with a balanced life. But if you can, I don't like to use the word addicted, but if you could get addicted to Allah, then what's Allah asking you to do is to take care of your family, is to have a balanced life, you know. So if you...
And you still enjoy your family.
You do enjoy everything.
It's, you know, lovely. You know, one thing I learned from our brother Wael is some time back I was talking to him about addictions and he was saying, look, if a person has, say, for example, watched porn today, and they're used to doing it every day, then they hold back for a longer time and the gap between their binging becomes bigger and bigger. It's a big achievement. It's an achievement. So say, for example,
like Ramadan.
Once a week or once whatever.
Yeah.
Then there is a gap between the times. I mean, that's commendable.
Yes.
It's not that you were not commending the sin, but you are trying to improve. Allah will reward you for that. Then Allah gives us the month of Ramadan. Allah gives us so many other beautiful seasons.
I just want to make something very important. When you make the distinction between those who are struggling and trying to get better and heal and all, and those who are enjoying it. Now, the problem with addiction is that it escalates. It does not remain at one level. So those who are struggling now and trying to get better, if they don't really seek out professional help, they will end up being numb to and tolerant to the behavior, and they will end up actually enjoying it. And even, brother, we have noticed now a new pattern that people are leaving the faith, giving up on Islam because of their addiction to pornography. Why? Because of the relapses. Yes. They relapse and then they repent, and then they relapse again. And they, ya Allah, save me.
So could we could comfortably say that if you are struggling with any form of addiction, seek help.
Seek help.
Absolutely. There seek is help. No way anyone can cure his own addiction.
But well, you know that the Prophet literally mentioned what you just said a couple of minutes ago. And that's why the treatment is mentioned in the hadith itself. He said, every human being's heart is exposed to fitan, tests and trials, desires, lustful matters, and so on. So the heart, the Prophet ﷺ resembled it to a sponge in one narration. Another narration like a mirror. So when a sponge, you drop something on it, whether good or bad, it will absorb it. When a heart, which is like a mirror, is supposed to reflect the images. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you need to comb your hair, you need to fix yourself. But if it is foggy, you don't see anything. How does it get foggy? This is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. Whenever a person commits a sin, it would leave a black dot. Yes. And if you were to repent immediately, the struggle that you're talking about, it will be removed and it will shine up again. But if you don't, then you add another one to it, and a third and a fourth, it will end up being completely darkened. So there is no mirror no more. So what is there? Kalkuzi mujakhiya, like a glass that is turned upside down. What is the similarity? The similarity is normally when the glass or the cup is put upward, if you want to fill it up with water or drink or whatever, it's usable. But if it is turned upside down, you keep pouring and it retains nothing. So the glass doesn't function anymore. The heart in this condition doesn't function anymore. To the extent that the Messenger of Allah said, لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا إلا ما أشرب هوا. So the hawa once again jumps to take the lead to become God. If this is good, I love it, man. Mm-hmm. If this is, if he does not desire it, like, you know, halal, he doesn't desire it, it should be rejected on haram. So the hawa has taken the role of God, which is legislation. That's why my advice, and also, mashallah, I should advise all your clients and those who are seeking help, that it's a very healthy sign that you recognize you need help.
Absolutely.
The next step
yeah.
is to seek help.
Yes. And Sheikhna, I want you to enlighten us also on one very important question that always comes during those discussions, is that if I come and tell you that I'm addicted to pornography, I'm exposing my sin. What's the difference between exposing your sin? There is a huge difference.
You've mentioned the issue of atheism. When a young man, when a college student comes to me and said, Sheikh, there are some questions in my mind. I'm afraid if I tell anyone, they'll think I'm, you know, I've become a kafir. And if he doesn't release them and relieve his heart and ask these questions to a knowledgeable person, he will become a kafir eventually. So what are you supposed to do? An uneducated imam or a person who's merely hafiz will say, Astaghfirullah, I shouldn't be talking about that. How dare you say that? An educated person will hug the person and say, come, you've come to the right person, one thing at a time. There is not a single misconception that doesn't have an academic refutation. This deen is perfect. This is not my statement. This is the statement of Allah. Inna deena inda Allah Islam. There is zero errors in it. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Zero errors. No way. Even if you do jumping jacks 10,000 times, you screen in the Quran and the deen from top to bottom, from cover to cover, not a chance. So enjoy it. So if a person comes to you for treatment, wait a minute. A direct answer to your question. Sheikh, you remember this young man coming to the Prophet and said, permit me to commit zina. You know, look, I'm willing to pay zakah. I'm willing to pray at night. And wallahi, we get the same complaint. People say, I pray at night. I pray on time. I recite Quran. But this is my weakness. Mm-hmm. So what did the Prophet do to him? Udnu. He logically spoke to him. Then he made this powerful dua. He placed his palm on his heart and he said, Allahumma ighfir dhanbah wa ihfaz farjah wa tahhir qalbah. And let everyone utilize the same dua. Oh Allah, pardon him and forgive him his sin. Ihfaz farjahu, guard his chastity. Protect his private from committing adultery. Ighfir dhanbah wa ihfaz wa tahhir qalbah. It's all about
purifying
the heart. So you're doing this yes. role, which is purifying the heart. Physically and spiritually.
A big thing is that when people come to us, from amongst us, there are those who go and tell others, they spread the info in community, so people stop coming to you. Or they embarrass the person, so we also need to educate general people who might be leaders in the community to say, listen, if it is an amana, if someone comes to you with their personal issues, it is really a trust.
Al-majalisu bil-amana.
You do not divulge. You have to be professional.
Especially us.
I think that's a major problem.
Exactly. The code of doctors. A doctor doesn't tell everybody. The doctor has been given the privilege and the respect by you to even show your own private part to them.
Yes. Correct.
And it's not anybody's business. And the doctor knows this is something that is just between you and me, and there's an amana and a trust. And so when we have people who bring their marital problems, their weaknesses, porn addictions, whatever, the need for them to feel this is a safe space, the importance also of the distinction on actions judged by intentions. Mm. When you bring your mistakes, your sins, your weaknesses to somebody, are you bringing it to boast about it? Or are you bringing it because you need help? So it's the same action, but the intention makes this one permissible, because if you need help, then the Quran tells you, ask those who know if you don't know.
Yes.
So I think, just like in the case of medicine, should somebody look at their exposing of their weaknesses as just publicizing their sins? Or exactly, just like sickness.
Dr. Noor and Dr. Naya, there is one valuable information that I want to share with both of you, three of us already know. We started a series of Unplugged a couple months ago by accident. I mean, it was not planned at all. Subhanallah. He said, Sheikh, I got you a new mic as a gift. He said, let's try it. Subhanallah. And we tried it and it went viral and it was a beautiful episode right on the beach in Bali. The second, the third, the fourth, even when we travel to Malaysia, when we come here and there, not a single episode is pre-planned. It is by the qadr of Allah. The reason why we're sitting here, there is a big crowd outside waiting for us on dinner, and the food is getting cold. And we said, let's go then pray Maghrib and Isha before we eat. And we ended up, this guy, Muddathir, who's not Muddathir anymore, mashallah. He says, let's do an episode. About what? We have no clue. Did you?
No.
Did you?
Alhamdulillah.
So we introduced to you, we introduced to you, Dr. Nail, Dr. Nuruddin.
The funny thing, Sheikh Nuruddin, while Mufti was putting the mic, he used to like, what's going on? What's happening?
Actually, I was also going to ask him what exactly is going on here. He said, push. I was like, okay, I'm
and
pushing.
Wallahi, and wallahi, I was going to begin the episode by asking him about his name and make the whole episode about the name Nail and what it means.
That's but look,
how many people keep asking us to come? So yes. Why don't
but
we?
But before we go, there's one important thing I would want to link up with what he said. I mean, perhaps Sheikh, you can. Now I know he's a scholar, and I need a 10 bucks. Yes. So there is this extension.
Who needs a 10 bucks?
I need a 10 bucks.
You owe me 10 bucks. Sir?
No, okay, fine.
Not Nigerian bucks.
Let's say I have
American bucks.
Let's say I have fixed the problem. So it's 0-0 now.
Okay. Wait, you haven't.
Okay, let's see what you. Yes, sir.
So the issue is there is a research talking about sicknesses of the heart. I don't know if you have come across the TCM, they call it Takotsubo Cardiomyopathy, or what they call broken heart syndrome, where the scholars in cardiology say that sicknesses of the heart actually breaks the heart just like we have a glass breaks. So when they come to say broken heart syndrome, they come to confirm that it's actually breaking of the heart. And some of the issues that you mentioned about is addiction is one of the things that can break the heart. And here they talk of anger, envy, you know, anger, envy, jealousy, extreme grief. All these tend to shrink, just like you have mentioned that the prophet says the
heart. You still owe me 10 bucks.
He's so busy with December. I'll give him Nigerian 10 bucks or the Ghanaian 10 bucks.
I told you at the beginning, give him the 10 bucks.
He knows you better. He knows me better.
A call out yes. to anyone who is struggling with any sort of addiction. If it is, behavior, substance addiction, you need to
see Allah
also help from the experts who deal with these, substance addiction. If you are struggling with behavioral addiction, alhamdulillah, we have the Aware Academy can help you. Wallahi, there is hope. We have seen people who were addicted for 40 years in that cycle.
Alhamdulillah. What about those who are struggling with hunger and they want to eat now?
Yeah, now we, mashallah. Brothers and sisters, we need to leave. Please leave us your comments and please let us know what you'd like to be discussed in these unplugged sessions that are very impromptu. Jazakumullah khair to my brothers. And it makes it easier when everyone respect each other, and we all are on par, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Prepare your cash.